When I opened the door, Tricky trotted out and was immediately engulfed by Joe the Greyhound and his friends. After rolling him over and thoroughly inspecting him, the dogs moved off down the garden. Tricky followed them, rolling slightly with his surplus fat, but obviously intrigued. Later that day, I was present at feeding time. I watched while Tristan slopped the food into the bowls. There was the usual headlong rush, followed by the sounds of high-speed eating. Every dog knew that if he fell behind the others, he was liable to have some competition for the last part of his meal. When they had finished, Tricky took a walk round the shining bowls, licking casually inside one or two of them. Next day, an extra bowl was put out for him, and I was pleased to see him jostling his way towards it. From then on, his progress was rapid. He had no medicinal treatment of any kind, but all day he ran about with the dogs, joining in their friendly scrimmages. He discovered the joys of being bowled over, trampled on, and squashed every few minutes. He became an accepted member of the gang, an unlikely, silky little object among the shaggy crew, fighting like a tiger for his share at mealtimes, and hunting rats in the old henhouse at night. He had never had such a time in his life. All the while, Mrs. Pumphrey hovered anxiously in the background, ringing a dozen times a day for the latest bulletins. I dodged the questions about whether his cushions were being turned regularly or his correct coat worn, according to the weather, but I was able to tell her that the little fellow was out of danger and convalescing rapidly. The word convalescing seemed to do something to Mrs. Pumphrey. She started to bring round fresh eggs, 2 dozen at a time, to build up Tricky's strength. For a happy period, there were 2 eggs each for breakfast. But when the bottles of sherry began to arrive, the real possibilities of the situation began to dawn on the household. It was the same delicious vintage that I knew so well, and it was to enrich Tricky's blood. Lunch became a ceremonial occasion with 2 glasses before and several during the meal. Siegfried and Tristan took turns at proposing Tricky's health, and the standard of speech-making improved daily. As the sponsor, I was always called upon to reply. We could hardly believe it when the brandy came. 2 bottles of Cordon Bleu, intended to put a final edge on Tricky's constitution. Siegfried dug out some balloon glasses belonging to his mother. I had never seen them before, but for a few nights they saw constant service as the fine spirit was rolled around, inhaled, and reverently drunk. They were days of deep content. Starting well with the extra egg in the morning, bolstered up and sustained by the midday sherry, and finishing luxuriously around the fire with the brandy. It was a temptation to keep Tricky on as a permanent guest, but I knew Mrs. Pumphrey was suffering, and after a fortnight felt compelled to phone and tell her that the little dog had recovered and was awaiting collection. Within minutes, about 30 feet of gleaming black metal drew up outside the surgery. The chauffeur opened the door, and I could just make out the figure of Mrs. Pumphrey almost lost in the interior. Her hands were tightly clasped in front of her. Her lips trembled.
"Oh, Mr. Herriot, do tell me the truth. Is he really better?"
"Yes, he's fine. There is no need for you to get out of the car. I'll go and fetch him." I walked through the house and into the garden. A mass of dogs was hurtling round and round the lawn, and in their midst, ears flapping, tail waving, was the little golden figure of Tricky. In 2 weeks he had been transformed into a lithe, hard-muscled animal. He was keeping up well with the pack, stretching out in great bounds, his chest almost brushing the ground. I carried him back along the passage to the front of the house. The chauffeur was still holding the car door open, and when Tricky saw his mistress, he took off from my arms in a tremendous leap and sailed into Mrs. Pumphrey's lap. She gave a startled, "Oh!" and then had to defend herself as he swarmed over her, licking her face and barking. During the excitement, I helped the chauffeur to bring out the beds, toys, cushions, coats and bowls, none of which had been used. As the car moved away, Mrs. Pumphrey leant out of the window. Tears shone in her eyes. Her lips trembled.
"Oh, Mr. Herriot," she cried, "how can I ever thank you? This is a triumph of surgery.